Good morning. It was really fun for me to hear Renee because Renee lived with us years ago in our boarding house. She was engaged to Matt, and she was on the phone all the time, planning her wedding. And I thought of this, Renee. We went to her wedding in Seattle, and I had little children, didn't think about the mother of the bride. We stayed with them overnight at their house. That was cruel. I don't actually remember seeing much of them, but it was sweet of them. But anyway, Renee was a lot of fun. It was fun to hear her 30 years ago. That tells you how old I am. I did not hand in questions soon enough for you. So if you want to write some down, or as a leader of a table, if you just want to make some up, some I might suggest are, what qualities do you look for in a friend? What active and on-purpose lessons did your parents teach you about being a good friend? So think about those. I look around this room, and it is actually full of my really good friends. And have you ever had the experience of walking into a room of strangers, and you look across, and there's someone you know really well, and it actually makes your heart skip a beat or lifts up, and you think to yourself, how did that happen? How do I know somebody well enough that my heart can actually move when I see them? And I ask myself this question: am I a better friend because I am a Christian? The most refreshing answer I could come up with was yes. The Bible says that if I walk in the light as he is in the light, I'll have fellowship with you, my Christian friends. Can I be friends with non-Christians? Yes, of course. But we can only walk together so far, and then it's darkness. She walks the path I cannot see. Can I shed some light on her path? Yes. But only God can open her eyes to see the light that I see. When I am walking with God, and you are too, then our friendship's sweet. Then the question becomes, am I walking in the light? Am I reading and obeying God's word? When I'm bringing my gift to the altar and I remember that I've wronged one of you, do I go make it right? Am I quick to listen and slow to anger? Am I slow to envy? Am I slow to assume a motive on your part? Am I bearing a false witness about one of my friends by the way I talk about them to my family or someone else? Am I letting my yes be yes? Or am I leaving my friends in the lurch because I'd really rather stay home than go, even though I told them I would be there? If I'm not walking in the light of God's word that shines on my path, and I'm stumbling along, and the fellowship with my friends isn't as sweet as it could be, or as it should be, and the loss is actually mine. And we can say that we're okay with that, but if time goes by and weeds grow, then not only is our path overgrown, restoring it's going to take longer. And I found one of the quickest way to restore, for me, a weedy friendship is first to repent for any wrong that I might have done, ask their forgiveness, and then to have a thankful heart. For I found that a heart can't hold bitterness and thankfulness at the same time. One will rule over the other, and honestly, thankfulness tastes better. I do love teaching five-year-olds, and that's where I normally am this morning, teaching some of your children, some of your grandchildren. But their world is uncomplicated. A simple truth is enough for them, and that's refreshing. And sometimes God's truth is so simple that we trip over it. The Bible says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. And how simple is that truth? I know some don't need a lot of friends. They just don't. And some need a lot. Sometimes your own family's enough. I've often said that if I knew I was going to raise my three own friends, I would have had more kids. There's nothing I love better than lunch with just my three kids. That's my, when they say, what do you want for Mother's Day? I say, oh, lunch with you guys. I love it. And I know I'm very close to my family, and I know if my twin sister lived here, I'd spend most of my time with her. It's just easy. But God in his wisdom has let her live just close enough for an afternoon visit. And I'm so grateful because I would have missed out on some of my richest memories, and a lot of them include you guys. I have learned that sometimes being someone's friend is not all about me. I have learned that when I'm cheerful about that, it too's full of memories. I've asked some people lately their take on friendship, and I've often heard it's hard, but it's worth it. It's an investment with returns. He who has friends must himself be friendly. So my question is, how do we learn to be a good friend? When I was first asked to talk on friendship, I thought, well, this will be fun. I like my friends. I like making new friends. And I am 64 years old. I'm probably old enough to talk on friendship. And then I stopped and thought about how I learned to make friends. Was I gifted at making friends, or did I actually have to work on it? And if I had to work on it, did I learn from my mistakes, or did I give up sometimes and miss an important lesson? Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself and some of the answers to these questions. The first thing that came to my mind was my enrollment in my mother's School of Manners. And her fair expectations were a measuring stick. In other words, having good manners was not an option, and we didn't even know it. And by manners, I don't mean just table etiquette. Heavens, we had to have those. But they were the kind of manners that fit this loud, boisterous six children home. No, I mean we had to treat others like we wanted to be treated. She handed this truth out to us often. She said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And it was years later I found out that was in the Bible. She never prefaced it that way. And she'd often let us work things out ourselves, especially with our siblings. Go work it out, she'd say. And then she'd give us time, and then she'd check on us. And sometimes we'd have to try again. But she was consistent in checking up on us. Let me give you one example of my mom's active lesson in friendships. We went to a church that had both a morning and an evening service, and we lived out in the country, so Sundays were a good day to have a friend over. So one day I remember I'm standing on the steps of the church, and I asked Mom if I could have an old friend over, and she said, I see a friend over there, a girl over there that is lonely and kind of shy. Why don't you have her instead? So I did. I went over and asked her, and that girl was so happy to be invited over. And it made me happy in a new way I hadn't experienced before. I was probably a preteen, and it was a good lesson for me. My mother had a good idea. Well, if you fast forward that same lesson to Moscow, Idaho, about 10 years later, so I was 23 or 24, and we were attending a church, not Christ Church. I haven't been in Christ Church forever. Anyway, we went to a different church when we first moved here, and I had noticed a new couple coming. And they had a son about my Stephen's age. She was expecting a baby, and I had little Paula. And I could hear my mom saying, go be friendly to her. So I went to see her, and we became fast friends, and she had another baby, and I had my Paula, and then we both had our third babies, and we would load those six kids up in a little pickup with no seat belts. And we would go off on adventures everywhere. Our kids grew up and went in different directions. Her kids stayed in public school. My kids went to Logos. And that was 40 years ago. And I'm actually having lunch with her today. And that investment paid off better than rubies. Last spring, her husband died, and she asked our whole family to do the service, the catering, the hosting. And I thought, that's why you make friends with people that you might not have chosen. Or maybe it wasn't always easy, but it was always precious, and I'm glad I did it. Would I have learned that lesson without my mom's advice? I doubt it. She was actually wiser than I was. My parents kept an eye on our friendships. They knew when an apology was in order, when too much of one friend was too much. In a group, we had to make sure everyone was included. We could not be rude. And I know sometimes we wanted to be snarky, but I'm sure if we were, we got caught, and that's how accountability works. Sometimes when my sisters are together now, we get kind of laughing and joking about how we'd like to be snarky in response to someone, and how we just didn't learn how to do that. We would have to actually learn now, thanks to Mom. So just like any other parents, their example was often more effective than their words. If they didn't fuss about their friends, how could we? If they were loyal, how could we not be? If they kept their commitments, shouldn't we? Actually, they were big on making your yes mean yes. They would say either, don't commit, Jan, or carry through. Those were my two options. Our home was actually one of those really busy places that took a lot of families in, whether they were visiting missionaries or visiting college students. But one thing we were never given was the luxury of setting this one out. Even if we had entertained for days, even if we didn't feel like entertaining this group of visitors, That was not an option. And now I'm really thankful because we learned to love company. We learned to love people. We thought it was normal. I'm glad I didn't miss out on all those memories because of an option that my parents had given me. I don't think they overwhelmed us. They might have been overwhelmed. And maybe they said no on purpose. And if they did, they didn't go on about it. I just don't know. They probably did. I may say no. Yes, it made a difference for me that I grew up in a Christian home, but my parents didn't. My dad was an orphan at 7, and my mom just shared with us the other day that she grew up in a good home, but she didn't become a Christian until she was married and had 4 children. So they did not grow up in a Christian home. And some of you probably didn't either. So let's think about principles that are important to us because we walk in the light as he is in the light. What do you look for in a friend? And are you that kind of a friend to others? Now, we already know we aren't perfect, or we wouldn't have needed a Savior. And our friends aren't perfect. My question is, how do you treat your imperfect friends? Do we esteem others better than ourselves? Do we encourage them to love and good deeds? Do we do unto others as we would have them do to us? Are we keeping our word? If we say we'll do something, do we carry through with it? Do we ask our friends to put up with more from us than we're willing to put up with in them? I know we've all learned the answer to some of these questions the hard way, and we can thank God for his discipline that sticks. It's kind of like a spanking sometimes. I remember once I told a lady that I would come and visit her one day that week, and then I completely forgot about it, and she was hurt by that and contacted our pastor. Now, this is way back in my young, naive days. We were newly married and living in California, and so this pastor came to visit us, which was daunting. And he reminded me of making commitments lightly. And he reminded me to be consistent in following through. Now, we were all young in those days. He was new to the job, and this particular lady was very needy. And I was just young and dumb. And I needed this truth pointed out to me. That's the kind of lesson we don't easily forget. I have since learned that I can have a good reason for not keeping a commitment. A snowstorm or sickness. But I never have a good excuse. So as I look back on my upbringing, I saw that, yes, my parents did take an active role in teaching me how to be a friend, and I'm going to talk to you moms now, and soon to be moms, and ask you to think about some principles that are important to you. The scripture is jam-packed with verses that relate to being friendly, offering hospitality, having patience, rejoicing with one another, weeping with one another, and sometimes even rebuking each other out of love and concern. Comforting each other, and I see you guys doing this all the time. And I want to encourage you today to come up with some new active ways to teach your children on purpose to be good friends, or even renew some things that you already do with them. Do they listen to their friends? Do they know how to get someone talking? Do they include others? Do they know how to rejoice with others, or only how to weep with them? Rejoicing with others is sometimes hard because envy can rear its ugly head. I mean, after all, they got the trophy and we didn't. So teach them to cheer. It's easier to weep with others because misery loves company. Don't we all know that? So keep your kids accountable for their responses to their friends. Have a plan. Say, today I want you on purpose to ask someone how their day is going. I love it when a little kindergartner comes in after a weekend and looks right at me and says, so how was your weekend? And I think, you're 5 years old. How do you know how to ask me that? It's wonderful. And I know they'll grow up doing that. They won't be able to help it. And I wonder if someone hadn't taught them to do that. And then ask them how it goes. How did it go today? Give them an assignment. Ask somebody if they like what they're reading. Do they like the book? Just give them a plan. And then when they get home, ask them if it worked. If they go to Bible studies or sewing groups or games, ask them if they drew the others out that were there in a conversation, or did they just talk about themselves, or did they not talk at all? You see where I'm going with this? On-purpose friendliness and on-purpose accountability. And if they're still real small, you can play some games with them that'll teach them how to be friendly. I asked my Kelly if I could tell this story on her. She was 3 years old. She's a really cute little girl. I might even say chubby. pudgy. But she was rather shy. Kelly was shy. Paula was our outgoing little girl when she was young. And I noticed that Kelly would not speak back to somebody when they spoke to her. She would turn her head away, even like the grocery clerk, which I think is important to speak to. So I played a game with her when we got home. I said, Kelly, you pretend like you're the lady at the grocery store and I'll be the customer. And ask me how I'm doing. She'd say, how are you doing? And I'd go, and Kelly didn't like that. She didn't like someone not answering her. So I said, ask me that question again. How are you doing? She said. I said, I'm fine. I'm just doing great. How are you doing today? She liked that. Made her face light up. So next time we went to the store, I said, Kelly, let's play that little game. And it worked. And it's still working. And her kids, if you know her kids at all, it works for them. What I'd like you to consider in this area of life with your own kids is what kind of a friendship do you want with them when they're all grown up? The other day, Paula was on her way home from visiting an old friend in Spokane, and she sent me a text, and she said, she must have been right by my house, she said, Mom, how about you invite me over for a glass of wine? And that feeling I talked to you about, where your heart leaps, I thought, yes. My Paula, all to myself, my own homegrown friend, yes, come. It was delightful. So think about that. If the principles that you teach them are the ones that you apply to your own life, then chances are you'll be great friends with them. And now we're making friends with 11 grandkids, and they're some of our favorite company. I love when we have just them, no parents, just the 11 of them at the table, and they sit for a long, long time and talk. I love it. The first time I realized that my mom was my very own good friend was when she came to visit us in California, where we were stationed right after we were married. We stayed up for hours just talking. We might have even gossiped. I don't remember. She wasn't given to that, but I think we probably did. She wasn't just my mom. Then she was my friend. She hadn't come to mother me. She had come to play with me. I loved it. Still my friend. She's 88. Many of us are left to learn some lessons about being good friends on our own. Either we missed it growing up or some things just didn't come in a family package. I did not grow up in a huggy kind of family, but I remember a friend that would always put her hand on my arm or her arm around my shoulder, and I found it comforting, and I thought, that's a nice gesture. I wish I'd been taught that when I was growing up. And then it occurred to me, I could learn it all by myself. I could enroll myself in lessons to be learned. So I set out to learn some lessons on purpose. Some lessons we learn through pain caused by others, their jealousy, or their disloyalty, or simply their rejection of us as a friend. Maybe the lesson to be learned here is how not to treat others. If we were hurt in that way, why would we on purpose want to hurt somebody that way? Another lesson I learned, set out to learn, was making things right when I had wronged someone. And that's a hard one. But those friends that I had to go back to and ask their forgiveness are some of my best friends today. Just because I didn't grow up learning some skills didn't give me an excuse to leave them out of my life. I could see to it that I took on new habits if they were brought to my attention. And so can you. Remember, it's never too late to be a good friend. The friends you have today, now think about this, ladies. The friends you have today may be the very friends that you grow old with. And that's a wonderful legacy. Don't let it be said of you that she had a lot of new friends, but no old friends. When someone's working on being a good friend with you, love them back. Make it easy on them. Don't make it hard. It's hard sometimes, I know, to keep out of friendship. Remember, it's not always about you. Sometimes it's for their sake. And I've been a long time in making friends, and I'm glad that I have. I have lots and lots of wonderful, good friends. But I can tell you that even with all that hard work, there's nothing like walking into a room full of friends and have your heart lifted. It's an investment, and it's worth more than gold in the bank. The return is eternal. So my word to you is go be a good friend on purpose. Thank you.